Good morning, everyone, and welcome again to our Sunday audio service. And our first song reminds us of the call of God on our lives each day, and that as we follow Him and live for Him through all the ups and downs of life, that nothing is impossible when God is on our side. Well, thank you again for keeping in contact. I've heard this week from Salim and Odette, from Simon and Bev and Peter Livett, Peter and Kath, and from Jeanette and Graham Morris. And it's a special happy birthday this week to Martin. Martin, we hope you have a great day, and we're thinking of you and send you our greetings. Happy birthday, Martin. And we're going to turn now to the scriptures, and we're going to turn to Job chapter 38. Job 38, and this will be our penultimate message, just one more to go after this. And this week, Robin, who listens in from Cheshire, is going to read this chapter to us.
Job chapter 38, verses 1 to 33. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched out the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone? when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut in the sea with doors? When it burst forth and issued from the womb, when I made the clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band, when I fixed my limit for it and set bars and doors, when I said, this far you may come, but no further, and here your proud waves must stop. You have commanded the morning since your days began, and caused the dawn to know its place, that it might take hold of the ends of the earth, and the wicked be shaken out of it. It takes on the form like clay under a seal, and stands like a garment. From the wicked their light is withheld, and the upraised arm is broken. You have entered the springs of the sea, or have you walked in search of the depths? Have the gates of death been revealed to you, or have you seen the doors of the shadow of death? Have you comprehended the breadth of the earth? Tell me, if you know all this, where is the way to the dwelling of light, and the darkness, where is its place, that you may take it to its territory, that you may know the paths to its home? Do you know it because you were born then, or because the number of your days is great? Have you entered the treasury of snow, or have you seen the treasury of hail? I have reserved for the time of trouble, for the day of battle and war. By what way is light diffused, or the east wind scattered over the earth? Who has divided a channel from the overflowing water, or a path for a thunderbolt, to cause it to rain on a land where there is no one, a wilderness in which there is no man, to satisfy a desolate waste and cause to spring forth the growth of tender grass? Has the rain a father? Or who has begotten the drops of dew from those whose womb comes the ice and the frost of heaven? Who gives it birth? The waters harden like stone, and the surface of the deep is frozen. Can you bind a cluster of the Pleiades, or loose the belt of Orion? Can you bring out Maseroth in its season, or can you guide the Great Bear with its cubs? Do you know the ordinances of the heavens, and you set their dominion over the earth?
Well, thank you, Robin, for reading Job 38 for us. And I guess that, like me, many have heard comments when speaking about God, comments like this: well, how could a supposedly loving God create a world where there is just so much misery? How could a loving God create a world where children are born terribly disabled, where there are insects that burrow deep into people's eyes, causing blindness? And your God made them, made insects like that. So what does God say in response to people who accuse him of making a bad job of governing this universe? Well, Job, in the previous chapters to this chapter 38, has been asking God those same kind of questions. And now in this chapter, we have God's response. Verse 1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the storm. You notice, if you've got your Bibles, that the word Lord there is in capital letters, which in our English translations always means that this is an English translation of that Hebrew name of God, Yahweh, the covenant God, the I Am name, the personal name of God, the one who has his own people. This is the one who now speaks out of the storm to those his own children. And this God is not aloof. He's not indifferent to their pain and their suffering. He cares and is with his people, and he's for them. Now, God's first words are quite surprising, for he doesn't answer Job's "why has all this happened to me?" question. Instead, God tells Job what Job really does need to know, and what we really need to know when we're in the storms of life. So let's have a look at this together. Verse 4. "Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me, if you understand who marked off its dimensions, surely you know who stretched a measuring line across it." And then down there to verse 12. "Have you ever given orders to the morning, or shown the dawn its place?" And he goes on like that. God keeps asking Job, "Have you, Job? Have you done this, Job? Have you done that, Job?" And the answer, of course, is no. "Can you, Job? Can you do this?" No. "Were you there at creation, Job?" No. "Can you hold the stars together, Job?" No. In other words, in this reply from God, God is affirming that there is a vast, vast gulf between God and people. God has power and understanding that is just way, way, way beyond us. And as these questions come from God, that vast difference begins to humble Job, and it should humble us. And we see that although we can't in these matters, God can. God is intimately involved in all of his creation. And so he says to Job, and he says to us, "I never make mistakes." God's promised word to all his children when they are in trouble is, "I know exactly what you are experiencing. My eye is upon every detail. And although you can't understand any of this, trust me, it's all under my control." Job answers the Lord in chapter 40. There's a lot that we can't read, but chapter 40, verse 3, we find Job saying to the Lord, "I am unworthy. How can I reply to you? I now put my hand over my mouth. I spoke once, but I have no answer. Twice, but I will say no more." So Job has been saying, "Lord, I need to know why. I need to know, Lord, why all this has happened." But after hearing what God has to say, Job puts his hand over his mouth and says nothing more. No more questions, no more requests. And this is our God, our all-loving, all-wise God, who tells us that there is just one thing that you and I need to know in the storms of life, and that is that our God is in control, and that he is the I Am, the Almighty, the Covenant God, the one who has committed himself to his children. So just remind yourself each day of that. The details of the trouble may and will perplex you. The pain and the hurt. It's hard to bear, but trust me, says God, I am in control. It's a very important truth for us to grasp. It's a very important question. How much of life in this world does God actually control? None of it? Just some of it? Or most of it? Or all of it? And if you were to ask that question across the church today, I think you'd be very surprised at how many supposed Christians would land their answer somewhere in the range of none of it, we don't believe he's in control of any of it at all, to most of it, somewhere in that range. Because theologically we can give a nod of assent to God's sovereignty. We can say that yes, we believe the Bible that God is sovereign until something bad happens to us. And then we begin to think that God has lost control. Is God in control when that cancer diagnosis comes? Is God in control when suddenly, as with many thousands of people now, I'm made redundant? Or when my home is flooded, as happened to Graham and Anne, is God in control? It's hard when it happens to me. So, is God in control all the time? And Job chapter 38 and 39 says, when it comes to the control of every detail in the universe, I've discovered that it's not like those bleachers that kill 99.9%, that God is 100% in control all the time. No mistakes ever. And in chapters 40 and 41, to help Job really see this, God brings a picture of the two greatest powers on earth. And God asks Job, can you control these two great powers? Now, in those chapters, this is put in picture language, and commentators have various explanations, but the general agreement is that the pictures here represent the power of Satan and the power of death, the two greatest powers on earth. And the question is, can you control the power of Satan, the power of sin in your life? Can you control the power of death? And the very clear answer from everyone is, of course, no. No, we can't. But God says, I can, and I do. And so, having heard all this from God, in the final chapter, Job replies, I know that you can do all things. And that's why we started with that old children's chorus, my God is so big. My God is my God. He's so big, so strong, so mighty. There's nothing that he cannot do. And in this time that we're living through, the trauma we see every day, the hurt and the pain, it's brought the cleverest of scientific brains to utter defeat. It's torn to shreds the plans of all the greatest government and leaders in the world, the economists, and their mighty empires have come crashing down. But for the child of God, the assurance stands. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing that he cannot do. And so, as we remember that, we remind ourselves that for the Christian, the who is much more important than the why. We know the one who is our Redeemer, the one who has paid the price, who has bought us, paid the full price by giving himself for you and for me. Do you think that having paid such a price, that our Redeemer is going to drop us now in the midst of some trouble, that he's going to forget all about you now? Of course not. And so as we close, we acknowledge that God's ways are often mysterious, for he's above us. His ways are higher than our understanding. But his heart isn't. His power isn't. We know God's heart is for his children. We know that his power is used on our behalf. And that's what we need to know when we're experiencing tough times. So he says to each of us this morning, through his word that we've just dwelt upon for a moment or two, he says, trust me, give yourself afresh to me. God has won the victory for us. So let's rejoice and be glad. So now our prayer. Our loving Father, our dear Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, the Holy Spirit of God, the Triune God, you are the source of our confidence. You're the source of our hope and our joy. And we ask that you might fill us with your life and your love so that our lives shine out in this hopeless world. Amen. Well, three people got the answer to last week's question, which was, of course, it was Abraham's father, Terah, who led them out of Ur in the Chaldees on their way to Canaan. I must just mention at this point that Jeanette's really going to the top of the class with this. She's got, I think her score now is 5 right in a row. So well done, Jeanette. Well, this week, Pauline set the question, so have a go at this one. Who hid 100 prophets of the Lord from the angry queen? Who hid 100 prophets from the angry queen? And so we close now with a song that reminds us afresh that our God has promised never to leave us, never to let us down.
I have a home, eternal home, but for now I walk this broken world. You walked it first, you know our pain, but you sure hope can rise again up from the grave. Abide with me, abide with me, don't let me fall, and don't let go. Walk with me and never leave, ever close, God, abide with me. There in the night, Gethsemane, before the cross, before the nails, overwhelmed, alone you prayed, your medicine, our suffering, and bore our shame. Abide with me, abide with me, don't let me fall, and don't let go. Walk with me and never eternity. We'll weep no more and sing for joy. Abide with me. We'll weep no more and sing for joy. Abide with me.